What is an intrusive thought? And more importantly, how can you make them go away? Chances are, if you're in this anxiety cycle and you've been recently diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, you might be getting intense panic attacks that come out of nowhere. You might be getting bizarre, mysterious physical symptoms that the doctors just don't have an answer for. You might even feel dissociated. You might be getting symptoms of depersonalization, derealization. But one of the most common, scary symptoms anxiety sufferers experience are intrusive thoughts. Thoughts like, what if the doctor is missing something? Is anxiety something I'm always gonna have to deal with forever? What if this never goes away? In this video, I'm going to be sharing with you what to do to make these unwanted intrusive thoughts go away. We're going to be discussing what is intrusive thoughts and why do they happen, what keeps an intrusive thought alive and what to do to make them go away, and how understanding intrusive thoughts can help you better understand your own mind. You might be dealing with intense thoughts right now, but if you can understand how to respond to a thought, not only will these intrusive thoughts go away, but you'll have a better idea of how your mind works and how it can better serve you. So let's get started. Now, if you're new to the channel, my name is Sean and we help people around the world overcome their bizarre, mysterious physical symptoms, their panic attacks, scary intrusive thoughts, the depersonalization, derealization. And on my own personal journey, it was the physical symptoms that threw me off. I had intense symptoms of digestive issues. I was getting panic attacks. I was getting breathlessness, heart palpitations, and I was very focused on the physical aspect. If somebody told me this was just anxiety, I wouldn't believe it. I knew the physical symptoms were really intense, and I wasn't thinking my way into experiencing these symptoms. But as I've helped people recover and as I went through my own recovery journey, I actually found that intrusive thoughts were one of those sinister underlying forces that was keeping all of this alive. And so if you're dealing with intrusive thoughts, this video is going to help. But if you're also dealing with intense physical symptoms that the doctors don't have an answer for, this video is going to be even more important because there are some forces that are at play that's keeping this alive. And you might be thinking that I'm suggesting that your thoughts are creating this. Not exactly. It's a little bit more nuanced than that. And for that reason, this video is even more important for you. So what are intrusive thoughts? Simply put, they are unwanted thoughts that don't seem to go away. Before you fell into the anxiety cycle, you might have gotten unwanted thoughts all the time, but they never bugged you. You could just brush them off. But now the thoughts can be incredibly disturbing, distressing, and really loud. You might even notice that your thoughts have an emotional punch behind them. For me, when I was going through the anxiety journey, when I would even have an intrusive thought, that alone was enough to give my body a panic attack. I would start hyperventilating even just by a thought. The thoughts were so intense and so real that I began running away from a thought. I didn't even want a thought to happen. Can you imagine trying to run away from a thought? Now, speaking of panic attacks, like I mentioned, you might be also experiencing intense physical symptoms. You might be getting weird emotions and you might want to wonder, okay, how do I get out of that? Well, the basic underlying principle to understand is that your nervous system is stuck in this fight or flight response. Basically, what's happened is that your body's hit a stress threshold. And what's happened is that your body is basically saying, Sean is in danger. We need to keep him alive. So your body goes into this stress response. And what happens is that your nervous system becomes sensitive. It becomes sensitized as a way to protect yourself from threats. And so what happens as a consequence is that you start getting physical symptoms. You start feeling even dissociated a bit. That's a bit of a trauma response, which is depersonalization, derealization. You start getting panic attacks out of nowhere, even though there's no danger. And what happens is that these stress hormones cause your mind to start racing and think of the worst case scenario. So if you're unclear of what's happening, it's very important to understand that your nervous system is sensitized and you have to learn how to desensitize your nervous system. As you learn how to desensitize your nervous system, these symptoms go away on their own, including the intrusive thoughts. Now, if you want a roadmap and a step-by-step plan on how to begin desensitizing your nervous system, I'll put a link down below, or you can go to www.byebyepanic.com, and that will show you the exact steps to how to begin overcoming these symptoms and begin finding relief. You might have tried coping crutches or breathing techniques and all these things. These are fine in the moment, but you'll notice that it doesn't make the symptoms go away. Or if it does, it's marginal. You have to focus on long-term freedom and teaching your nervous system that there is no threat And as your nervous system recognizes there's no threat, your nervous system naturally on its own desensitizes and the symptoms go away on their own. Now, why are you experiencing these intrusive thoughts and what can you do to begin making them go away? Well, like I mentioned, that you're experiencing these intrusive thoughts as your body's way of protecting you. See, if you were in the African savanna 1,000 years ago and a tiger came to try to attack you, you managed to get away. But what's going to happen is that your nervous system is going to be on high alert after that. It wants to make sure that if the tiger comes out again, you're prepared. So what happens is that your body starts experiencing physiological changes. Again, like I mentioned, your nervous system becomes sensitized, but your mind also starts thinking of worst case scenarios. Basically, what your mind does is that it looks at all the bad case scenarios, grabs the scariest one, and magnifies it. So, for example, anytime a bush rattles because of the wind, your mind is going to think of, what if there's a tiger behind it? Now, you might have not historically had this thought in the past, or if you had this thought, you were able to shake it off. But because your nervous system is sensitized, you're going to start thinking that that's more likely. Again, your mind will look at all the bad case scenarios, grab the scariest one, and magnify it and make it feel real. This is why before you fell into the cycle, you could have a bunch of thoughts and you wouldn't have to engage with them and they just slipped away on its own. There was no emotional punch behind them. But in this case, because your nervous system is sensitized, it's much harder to shake off the thought. Your mind almost latches onto it more. The thought is more stickier. Because you're in this stress state, your mind wants to keep you alive. That being said, it's important to understand that the content of the thought doesn't matter. You might be having thoughts of, what if this is my life forever? What if the doctors are missing something? What if I always have to deal with anxiety? What if I hurt myself? What if I hurt others? It's not the content that matters. What's happening is that there's an emotional punch behind the thought, and that is startling you. And what's happening is you're beginning to engage and fight with the thought. Now, let's dive deeper into this, okay? Now, there is a difference between thoughts and thinking. Can you tell the difference? If I was to ask you, what's the difference between a thought and thinking? Just take a second and ask yourself, what's the difference between the two? Well, thoughts come and go. There's nothing you can do about it. You have 60,000 thoughts a day. You can't control it. Thoughts just basically come and go like clouds. Thinking, however, is you engaging with the thought. So basically, you're picking and choosing what thoughts are relevant to you and engaging with it, interacting with it. What happens with anxiety sufferers is that they start engaging with the scariest thought. They start experiencing all these thoughts because their nervous system is sensitized. And what happens is that they begin engaging with the thought. They start fighting with the thought. This is how rumination occurs. Rumination is just constantly thinking about the same thought, having the same thought patterns over and over again, to the point where it's become autopilot. It's become its own feedback loop. Now, why is it important to make this distinction? Well, it's important to understand what you can control and what you can't control. And as you identify what you can control and what you can't, this is going to help you overcome intrusive thoughts once and for all. It's recognizing the content of the thought or the thought itself doesn't matter. But what keeps a thought alive is if you begin ruminating with it, if you begin engaging with it, if you start thinking about that thought. So if you have a thought, if you begin engaging with the thought, which is basically thinking, well, that tells your nervous system that this thought is important. This thought is important for Sean, so we're going to keep giving those thoughts over and over again. Look, the reality is that you get 60,000 thoughts a day. You are the one that's picking and choosing what thought is relevant or not, right? I can have a thought saying, I'm not a human being, I'm a cheeseburger. That thought can come and go. But if I decide to engage with that thought and thinking, wait, am I a cheeseburger? Am I not a human being? Well, what happens is that the mind recognizes that that thought is important to Sean, and so it starts reproducing that same thought over and over again. Again, your mind will throw thoughts at you that thinks is relevant to you. And so because you're in this survival state, your body and mind is thinking worst case scenario, and so it's throwing all these different thoughts about worst case scenarios. Now, if you begin engaging with those thoughts, it keeps reinforcing the thought. This is important to understand because you can't control thoughts, right? You can't say, don't think about a pink elephant. The first thing you're going to think about is a pink elephant. So the laws of, you know, the physical world is different with the, you know, laws of the mind. You can't make thoughts go away. You just have to choose not to actively engage with the thought, and then the thought goes away on its own. Now, does this mean that you avoid a thought or you distract yourself from a thought? Again, it doesn't work that way because you're still running away from something. It's recognizing a thought is just a thought. The intrusive thoughts you are experiencing is just a side effect of anxiety. It's just a symptom of anxiety. Again, it doesn't matter what the content is. Even if the thought feels very real in the moment, it's important to recognize that what you are experiencing is anxiety, and your body is producing excess cortisol, excess adrenaline, and your mind is just trying to burn off that adrenaline. And it burns it off through thoughts. That was a really good example that helped me on the journey. Anytime my mind started going into this intrusive thought loop, I just recognized that it was just my body burning off the adrenaline. All I needed to do was not engage with the thoughts. The thoughts seemed very real at the time. And I would just have the attitude of, if it is, it is. Now, it wasn't that I was accepting my fate, but it was recognizing that engaging with the thought wasn't going to help. In fact, it was engaging with the thought that kept it alive. So all I just did was let the thought burn itself out. See, you think that you need to fix the thought by engaging with it, by rationalizing it, by helping your mind understand that there is no danger. You don't need to do that. It's important to recognize that your mind works for you. So your mind is the one that's going to be throwing thoughts at you. It's you that determines whether that thought is important or not. If you're wondering how to not engage, recognize that you have 60,000 other thoughts that happen a day. You have no trouble not engaging with those thoughts. A good example that can really help in this case is understanding the mechanics of anxiety, getting a deeper idea of why you're experiencing these bizarre, mysterious physical symptoms, how to begin overcoming these symptoms, and recognizing thoughts are just thoughts. You don't need to engage with it. It's not the content that matters. Now, once you start understanding this, then you start learning more about the mechanics of the mind. See, what's keeping this alive is that you're very identified with the thought. When a thought comes up, you really feel identified to that thought because the thought feels really real. What happens if the doctors can't figure this out? What happens if I'm always dealing with this? That's a very scary thought. But the truth is that it's still, at the end of the day, no different than any other thought that you have. But this thought is something that scares you. And because it has that emotional punch, you become more focused on it. It's important to recognize that you can't follow your thoughts. Much like with anxiety recovery, you can't follow your feelings. You have to throw everything under the anxiety umbrella, including the intrusive thoughts. This was so key for me, especially as I was going through the recovery journey. I was getting so many physical symptoms that I would throw the physical symptoms under my anxiety umbrella, saying, that's just all part of anxiety, but I wasn't doing that with the thoughts. And that was preventing me from getting better. It wasn't until I started throwing these thoughts under the anxiety umbrella, recognizing that that was also a symptom of my nervous system being sensitized, did I start making progress and eventually get to recovery. Now, as I recognized the intrusive thoughts were not me, it was just anxiety manifesting itself in thoughts, well, then it started making me think, well, if I'm not my thoughts, what am I? Who am I? This is where you start understanding the mechanics of your mind. See, when I was going through the recovery journey, I was experiencing physical symptoms, but there was nothing physically wrong. And yet I was feeling physical symptoms. I was getting these scary, intrusive thoughts that were so believable, and turned out none of it was true, but it felt so real. And so it made me realize if I'm not having physical symptoms, even though I'm experiencing it, if I'm getting these scary, intrusive thoughts, but it's just a side effect of anxiety, I'm neither my mind nor my body. And this is very key to understand, which is you aren't your mind. You're not your brain. You're not your body. You're the witness behind it. Understanding that you're the witness behind it gives you some space. You won't fall into the trap of every thought that you have, you'll become identified with it. You'll start recognizing that you're just the witness of the thought and you don't need to judge it. You don't need to figure things out. You can just observe it. And just like clouds, it comes and goes. But when you start engaging with the thought, when you become identified with the thought, then you're basically chasing a cloud. And that's why it's always raining. That's why you're always in the storm. It's because you're identified with it. Now, the last thing I'll mention is that I've seen clients, as I've helped people recover and my team helps people recover their symptoms and go back to living, that some clients tend to judge themselves based on their thoughts. they've been told by society, by cultural forces, maybe even religious forces, that if you have a certain thought, you're a bad human being. That is not how thoughts work. Thoughts come and go. You have no control over it. And what often keeps your thoughts alive is your judgments around the thoughts. Again, it's you being identified with a thought. If a thought comes, and if you begin judging it, well, now you're engaging with it. All you're doing is reinforcing a thought. Not only are you reinforcing a thought, but now you're experiencing symptoms of shame, of guilt. And this is not the way that reality works. Your thoughts come and go. There's no judgment. There's nothing about a thought that makes it special. Thoughts come and go. Your mind comes up with thoughts. Your heart beats, right? In the way your heart beats, your mind creates thoughts. But it's important to recognize that there is no good thought, bad thought. What determines a good person is the thinking, the engagement, and the behaviors on it. That's the main focus. I've seen a lot of people judge themselves, and honestly, it's not productive to their recovery at all. In fact, it actually makes them spiral more. The biggest focus is to understand that thoughts come and go. It's neutral. You just need to be aware of the thought. Can you be aware of a thought and not judge it? Can you just witness a thought for what it is and let it pass by without any sort of engagement? If you can do that, even the scariest thoughts you have, all thoughts slip away. You don't have to do anything about it. If you can do that with even the scariest thought, well, you'll begin overcoming these intrusive thoughts. You'll understand how intrusive thoughts happen, what to do to make it go away, and then you'll start getting into deeper concepts, which is, if I'm not my mind, if I'm not my thoughts, who am I? I am the awareness behind it. If you're interested in that space, that's where a great starting point. If you're not interested in that, you don't have to go through that. It doesn't matter. You can still overcome intrusive thoughts. But it's important to understand that you can't judge these thoughts. Engaging with the thoughts is what keeps it alive. Recognize the difference between thinking and thoughts. And more importantly, understand why you're experiencing all these symptoms. When you don't understand what's happening, your mind is naturally going to think of worst case scenarios. So it's important to understand the mechanics of anxiety, how anxiety manifests, how to begin the recovery journey, how does recovery look like? And as you do that, you'll be able to demystify all these things, and it's going to be more productive to your recovery journey. I hope this video helps, and I'll see you in the next one.